The Dome Patrol United Network presents the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk because this was a sobering experience watching the Saints play against the Raiders. There's no cause for concern, though, folks. Or is there? Saints fans aren't sure what to think after watching the Raiders game because so many fears may start becoming a reality. What will life be like after Drew Brees retires? How important is Mike Thomas to the team? Why does the defense struggle against a seemingly non-threatening offense? What is Sean Payton thinking? Do we still have the ability to bounce back after games like this? Only time will tell, and until then, we've got the donkeys to discuss these questions, plus some NFL reach-around pick-ems, and a look ahead to the Packers game. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm also a zero. I didn't drink too much last night, but I just wasn't in the mood to drink anything today. Just got a little Monster, trying to get a little pep in my step.
Yeah?
Yeah, but no alcohol today.
All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Right now, I'm a zero. Although, after watching that game last night, I kind of think I should be drinking more. Maybe it'll help me get through the game.
We should all be drowning our sorrows today, and yet we're not.
We should definitely be drowning our sorrows, but oh well.
All right, and Ben, from the Saints UK podcast. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Zero. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm allowed to drink here, but for some reason I just work tomorrow, so I'm not drinking.
All right. Yeah, like I said, it was a sobering experience, and that's why none of us are drinking. I got to tell you, this one's going to be tough. We had the instant reaction show. I actually thought we responded pretty well, considering how we were during the game. So I think maybe cooler heads will prevail. Let's find out in the game recap.
I'll go first, since I didn't I went on last night. It was strange, you know. The team came out to such a hot start, and then to just fall back. But I think some of that, and I didn't hear you guys talk about it. In the first quarter, Carr held on to the ball a lot, and that's where we got three sacks. And then after that, they made adjustments to where Carr got the ball out very quickly. And it exposed our lack of pass rush, and it also exposed how shitty our defensive backs played last night. Because at the end of the day, they still held Jacobs under 100 yards. I mean, as a team, the Raiders had 100-something yards rushing, like 100 in the teens, but just couldn't get off the field. It just could not get off the field on third down. It was incredibly frustrating. It was the Saints' defense of old, kind of rearing their ugly head. And unfortunately, this is something that would be seen even the past few years that the Saints have been very good. We haven't won in week two since 2013, I believe.
No, we've won in week two.
No, we haven't gone 2-0,
didn't we?
Yeah. I think the stat you're thinking about is we haven't been 2-0.
Got it. Okay.
0-1, 1-1.
Okay.
1-0, 1-1.
So
we haven't been 2-0.
So there was always a stinker early on in the season. And again, the Saints are not known to be a fast starting team. For whatever reason, they get it going in October. So that points to, okay, maybe there's some optimism. This is the same old Saints. But then again, you kind of see, well, man, Breeze was just off. I mean, the one thing that you can count on him with his accuracy has been nowhere to be found the first two games. And that's a little concerning.
All right. So what about, again, take a year where we had a preseason. Breeze's first game was not great either. I'm probably wrong, but I'm trying to make some kind of positive out of this. Second game is when he was a little bit better. This year, week one was his preseason. You know, he always played, you know, a series or two in the preseason to get his warm, and then it was week one, week two. So week one was the preseason. Week two was his week one. Week three is when he's going to find his inner strength and his focus.
I like an optimism.
I mean, with the old Breeze, I'd say, yeah, I agree with you, but I don't know. This is the old Breeze is gone, and the old Breeze is here.
Is here. Right? Old man Breeze. What's up, you kids?
You know, and kind of Jason's point, you know, couldn't get off the field on third downs either by not stopping them or penalties, one or the other. You know, the Saints, after two games, 248 yards in penalties, which is a league high. The next closest, I think, is like 50 yards.
I think just this one game puts us in the league high, does it not? I mean, like we had more penalty yards in this one game than most teams have in both games.
Well, they have 6 pass interference penalties, defensive pass interference penalties, which is the most in the league. So
that's concerning.
Yeah, and it wasn't even all defensive penalties. The one drive where we get into their territory, and then we've got 3 straight penalties and go back like 35 yards. Like, what the hell are you guys doing? And my friend Jimmy sent a text last night. He brought up a stat. We out penalized the Raiders by 116 yards. When has that ever happened? Somebody needs to check Elias, because I don't think that's ever happened. Usually it's the other way around. The Raiders are the most penalized team in football. They had 3 penalties for 13 yards.
Yeah.
And we had 129 yards.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Ben.
I'm saying people say this is because, we had no preseason to stop it, but no one else in the league is having this much.
Right.
You know, you can't say this is because of no preseason. This is just shit, ill-disciplined football.
I mean, you're right. Everybody's kind of playing on the same field here. Neutral fields, for that matter.
Exactly. No one's had the upper hand of a preseason or anything.
Right.
You know, it's just preparation and ill-discipline.
So how much of it is just John Gruden may have the Raiders' position? I mean, are the Raiders a playoff team, perhaps? We could have actually faced a better team than we thought we had, and the Saints underestimated them.
No.
I honestly think we'll end up with a better record than the Raiders at the end of the day.
Only because they have Kansas City?
And the Chargers.
Yeah, we have Kansas City to play.
Yeah, we got to play them too.
I don't know. I mean, I just think John Gruden's a good – I mean, we got out-coached, to your point, Ben, prepared. I the Saints just didn't look prepared. They looked like they clearly didn't have any answers for the most obvious things staring them in the face. Now, whether that's coaching or is that execution, I mean – if you double team a guy, you should be able to stop him sometimes. The only time Waller didn't catch it is when it was a bad throw.
Yeah, I mean, God, and the cornerbacks were getting beat. I mean, even the one play with Lattimore made where he actually had good coverage, and then he goes to – I don't know what the hell he was looking at when he totally missed in front of the guy, and he gets the first down. Like, he was there, and then he just – bleh. Like, what was that?
Marcus Williams once again showing a lack of tackling skill. It was from Malcolm Jenkins as well, giving up on that run. It was just so sloppy. But the million dollar question.
Out the night before.
It's going to happen.
First game in Vegas ever. Couple of young guy millionaires. You know, they had to at least go out for a steak dinner, and one thing led to another. Next thing you know, it's 3 a.m.
If we go by our rigged theory, you know, the league is rigged theory, you had to believe that they were going to make sure that the Raiders win their first game at home in Vegas on Monday Night Football.
Maybe the Saints got paid a little extra money to play 5-10 yards off the receivers all night.
Because that's what they sure they were doing.
He got paid.
Yeah. Yeah, he got paid by us. I don't know why.
You could argue that Andrews Pete got paid to suck, but yeah, it's actually pretty consistent for him.
As is, of course, the tradition.
He played right into his old game. They're going through, who do we have to pay off? The Pete? Nah, he's all right. Just tell him, you try your hardest.
And Kamara just wasn't listening to the game plan, was he? Because he was absolutely killing it. And that's one thing that really pisses me off.
The NFL needs to feature Kamara. They need him. He's the guy, you know? Like, if you go with the rigged approach, opening night, stadium, Vegas first game, Al Davis torch, Raiders got to win, but Kamara's got to look like the future.
Why is Peyton going away from the run when we're absolutely gashing him in the first quarter? Why? Why didn't we get Taysom Hill involved either? There's certain things in offense. It's just making me
right. That's crazy. What are we paying Taysom for? To get 3 snaps?
To be involved. He got the memo before from Roger Goodell. You're not allowed to use Taysom tonight.
Who Roger Goodell was in attendance.
And you can only use Kamara in the first quarter.
Yeah, it's one of those weird, frustrating games where it's just like, man, what's they just look is sloppy.
I know how you kids like them sloppy.
Brady, you're scaring us.
And that's kind of been a staple of the Peyton era. You know, we always have that one or two games a year where everything is just off. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's the offense is clicking and the defense isn't, or the defense clicking and offense isn't. Last night it was both.
Nothing was clicking.
I mean, there were some good signs. Like you said, Kamara had a good game. I thought Tre'Quan Smith had one of his better games he's ever had.
Kwan had a very good game. Yes, he definitely stepped up.
Which begs the question, what the hell, man? For the if you could play like that, why haven't you been?
Well, sometimes it just takes people a while, you know? It doesn't click right away. Maybe that's a sign that it's starting to click from him.
You know what? We've had the crisis. He had the reason he needed. Oh, I got to step up for the team.
Well, this is it, or he's going to get cut.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this for 3 years. He'll come in and have one big game, and then he disappears the rest of the season. And we always say, where's that Tre'Quan been? He needs to keep doing that. And then he goes back, you know, into the shadows and doesn't do anything.
The disappointing thing as well is just Cook and Sanders not really being in the game at all.
I just can't get over Sanders being so MIA. In addition to fucking me over in fantasy where I just needed 4 points and he couldn't even give me that.
Well, as Dave pointed out on the BS and Beer podcast, let me get this right for you, Dave. Dave that said it. But Emmanuel Sanders admitted to struggling to capture the offense. They didn't have a preseason. They didn't have camp. They didn't have I mean, he's just not there yet. So You cannot put him in that WR1 position. We were kind of it's a big miss on our part to assume that he would be, just because he's a talented receiver. Yes, he can catch the ball. But yeah, Tre'Quan, Dave called it. Tre'Quan was going to be the guy. So good for you. I don't know why you think
that. Thanks for being so smart, Dave.
Yeah, I don't know why he thinks Andres Pete's a dominant lineman, though. That's another thing he's going to have to explain.
You've really got to think of Pete, haven't you?
I do. Shouldn't I? There's always one guy that I'm going to latch on to, and I'm going to point out every single time, because people need to – I mean, and he's not really a hard argument to make. I think a lot of people are kind of on his case, but
– Pete is his
really
new
like my Malcolm Jenkins, Von Bell thing, where I just can't believe the money Von Bell got from the Bengals and what we're paying Malcolm Jenkins. Yeah.
But I think Malcolm Jenkins has potential to like play well. I don't think Pete does.
Mm. I'm not one for, you know, I watch this TV series. I watched the All or Nothing of the Eagles, and Jenkins looked like an arsehole in that and declining. And then we go and sign him, and yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
The Eagles
maybe just one bad game.
The Eagles didn't want him back, right?
I don't think so, no.
Maybe they knew something. Maybe it was just a
because one of the episodes, one of the corners got cut, in week four, and then he went on local Philly radio and just started calling out Jenkins, saying shit attitude, shit leader in the locker room, and yeah,
great.
And then they don't go and re-sign him. So you know, alarm bells have kind of got to be ringing a little bit.
One team's trash is another team's trash. Isn't that how the saying goes?
I thought it was be a little bit better than that, but yeah, unfortunately, that seems to be the case.
I'm glad I didn't spend thousands of pounds on flights and hotels and match tickets to come from the UK to Vegas.
Right.
That I think the instant reaction might have been a little bit different if I was there.
Right? Holy cow. Imagine that. How many Saints fans didn't have to put up with that? Especially you guys from the UK.
You know, we were all planning to come over, one big party, and God we didn't.
Highlights, Deonte Harris, the speed in which he comes out of that end zone on those returns. Oh, I can't wait till he breaks one, and you know he will.
Yeah, he definitely will.
And like Anzalone, dude, Anzalone was like in on a lot of plays. Now, he's not credited with any tackles or sacks or anything like that, but I sure saw him involved in a lot of plays.
You know? And DeMario Davis had a good game, too.
Yeah,
on defense. He was one of the only ones on defense.
Relatively speaking, yeah.
I thought Onyemata had a good game.
Yeah, but as a whole, the defensive line was very surprising that they didn't do more.
I know Cam was
fine.
Yeah, especially with Incognito going out too. It was frustrating. I mean, I know they were double-teaming Cam, but this is where we really missed fucking Davenport.
Yeah.
This is why you waste, you know, you spend the capital on Davenport. You need the guy on the other side, and he's MIA so far.
Yeah. And Ben, you kind of picked on Marcus Williams for not being able to tackle, but he did lead the team in tackles.
I think it was one where I completely lost my shit in the third quarter where he, okay. I think it
the
was.
One time.
Yeah, as the one time. Okay, you got me.
That's how I am with
That's how he is with you.
But, when also you're noticing Sheldon Rankins really isn't getting as many snaps as he was. You can kind of see him being phased out ready for his departure next year, can't you?
Well, I wonder if they're also, too, not rushing because of his injury history. They don't want to overwork him so Maybe. Soon.
We got a roach play, though.
That's right. Got a roach clip.
Get a roach clip.
You want to witness some real, actual history? Back in the day, George and a few of the founding fathers did have hemp farms because they knew the meaning of hard work and integrity. But then our country did lose its way and began a war on drugs that was and still is just a war on people. And then a bunch of young corporate banker types come along telling us we're all in the new normal as they try and turn God's green miracle into an easy buck for themselves. They even hire fancy Hollywood directors to make them look all hip and cool. But you know what? Fuck those guys. Tiggerty weed.
And I will say, you know, shame on me last night in the instant reaction. I complained about Drew Brees not spreading out the ball like he normally does. But actually, he did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different receivers throughout the night. So
were those all passes out of the backfield?
Yeah, of course. That's the only kind of passes. That
big
or at least
fish,
like 5 yards deep. You know?
Big fish got a catch.
The Troutman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. First catch for Troutman.
17-yarder. Yeah, Drew Brees is not the same that he was, but I also don't know that it's – like again, last night everybody was pressing that panic button. Not everybody, but a lot of people were kind of saying, oh, it's time. It's time. These are signs of the time, and if we don't do something sooner, we're going to regret it later.
No, the sign of the time is at the end of the season. You leave Drew in. No matter how bad it gets, you leave Drew in for the season. I'm not having Drew Brees sit on the bench for Jameis Winston playing in this team.
Right?
No way. Imagine we're talking last year and we said that. You'd be laughing.
Drew Brees' brain is more important than his lack of muscle.
Drew Brees deserves to tell himself when it's time.
He needs to be telling himself that now.
I think he has already. I think he knows this is his last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and if he didn't, then he
And I guarantee you, if he knew everything about this whole COVID situation, how the league is this year, he would have called it quits last year.
Yeah, I could see that. And the good news about him being so bad weeks 1 and 2 is you know he's going to work his fucking ass off to fix it. He's going to do whatever he can to do it. Whether he does... it remains to be seen, but at least you know the effort's going to be.
I mean, like Jeff said, he's got the brain power to do it, but does he have the physical prowess?
The skills, right?
It? Yeah.
This is where you get Taysom Hill involved.
You know?
But he's still more as accurate than Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jameis' accuracy is going to be terrible.
Well, you don't know that. He got that eye surgery.
Did you see the video on Twitter today of him throwing the ball at the cones up there?
No.
It was like, oh, hey, but he had that eye surgery. He was missing the cones by, like, 5 yards.
Jameis just isn't an accurate quarterback. That's it. That's Jameis Winston. Yeah.
The good thing is with a lot of receivers, you don't necessarily have to hit them exactly. You can just be in the area and the receivers can go get it. That's Michael Thomas. That's where Michael Thomas covered.
Exactly.
And accuracy at times. I mean, you see a lot of those acrobatic catches. All right. I'm going to move us on into NFL reach around. Happened on Sunday.
Wait, just tore my ACL. Ah.
So this
you
is
and everybody most, else.
This is the most ACL injuries in the modern era on the same day or something like that.
I think there were what, six?
Six or seven, yeah. And maybe part of, it's not, it isn't the most, but there's some kind of, Schefter came up with some kind of.
Oh yeah, well, I think like on the, in a single weekend of games, I think it's the most.
Something. But it's also, I think, brought to light by the fact that it's notable names.
got some Saints breaking news.
What do you got?
Uh-oh.
The NFL is fining the Saints and Raiders $250,000 each for coaches Sean Payton and John Gruden failing to wear the face coverings on the bench area.
I agree. Okay, I can see that. Yeah, because they fined other coaches and
right?
the whole game.
Well, we knew like a Payton didn't even try. Gruden at least had it pulled
chin
down
strap.
below his nose or whatever. But
yeah, his chin strap.
Payton didn't even try.
So the Saints, both teams are $250,000, but each coach having to pay $100,000 as well.
Yeah, that was the same. They announced some of the other coaches from the weekend getting fired that amount.
Yeah, Fangio.
Fined, yeah.
A couple other ones, yeah.
That's yeah, I mean, that's I know it's just change. For optics, but I mean, hey, you say it's chump change, it's still $100,000 and so $250,000 stupid. For Gale.
I bet they wear their masks next week.
I bet you Payton doesn't.
It'd be hilarious if Payton doesn't.
You can see Payton won, you can't. You can see it.
Maybe some attorney in New Orleans will pay it for him.
Anybody want to bet a stake on that? No?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm okay. But anyway, getting back to the reach round.
Not like you have to pay it.
Yeah. It was insane how many the news. Oh, this guy is down. Oh, this guy left the game. Oh, now this guy left the game. And like you said, big names. I mean, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas for Frisco. Mostert got hurt. It wasn't a torn ACL. Garoppolo left the game. Wasn't a torn ACL. But then you have Saquon Barkley tear his ACL.
Courtland Sutton tore his ACL.
McCaffrey gets a high ankle sprain. And that's already in addition to Michael Thomas being out with a high ankle sprain. Just massive, massive blows to fantasy teams.
And do you think it has to do with – you know, not having as rigorous a training camp because of COVID restrictions and not having the preseason?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, you have to.
These bodies aren't conditioned. You know, these guys go through months and months conditioning in the building. Now, their prep starts in April, really, don't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
They haven't had that.
And the preseason is not full games. You know, it's not as much of a game speed. It's not as many reps. And then they went from 0 to 100.
Yeah. Preseason helps you build it up a little bit.
It's really all the mini camps they lost, I think. I mean, that's a lot of getting into running routes and doing all that kind of stuff. Now, I know some of the players are bitching about the field in New York where all those 49ers injuries happened. So they're complaining about the field. And they go back and play the Giants on the same field this week. They play the Jets this week. They play the Giants next week.
I don't know. Something about that field last night felt like it was kind of hurting people. A lot of people went down, kind of got hurt. It wasn't.
Well, it wasn't hurt. They were more slipping. I mean, it was real grass. Usually on real grass, that's not really an issue. It's more the field turf. But then like Courtland Sutton tore his ACL. He's out. That was after injuring his shoulder before week one. Then Denver's quarterback had a shoulder injury. So they actually signed. I know they were going with Jeff Driscoll, but they signed.
Blake Bortles
today.
And I'm hearing the Giants are about to sign
Devonta Freeman.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's a decent move. As good as you can get, maybe on the market. And being a Saquon Barkley fantasy owner, I might have to go and pick him up on the wire tomorrow.
Or
you know, that's another decent thing about the Saints game is that we escaped – relatively injury-free, you know? I mean, it got to a point where, like, just fucking survive Monday night. Yeah. I don't care if you win or lose. Just survive without somebody blowing out a knee.
It looked like Josh Hill. He went down holding his knee, but he came back into the game.
Yeah.
We haven't had an injury report, have we?
No, it's going to be tomorrow.
Anything. Yeah, it'll be tomorrow.
What do y'all how many running backs have to go down before gosh, what's the guy from Redskins?
You mean the Washington football team?
The Washington football team. Who went to LSU?
Oh, Geis? Yeah, Geis. He's not. Yeah, they ain't gonna sign him this year.
Nobody?
No, I don't think so.
I think he's waiting for suspension.
If he signed, how many games is he? Yeah,
it'd be a 6-7 game suspension, wouldn't it?
Yeah, what's the point of signing him?
It's a bit like Antonio Brown. Apart from he's fucking crazy.
Right, and hopefully Geis doesn't go that batshit.
Let's talk about the fun news of the games on Sunday.
I wonder what you're talking about.
All right. You talking about Joe Burrow?
No, I'm talking about the Falcons blowing that lead.
Oh, yeah. That's right. This was also this is another one that Shepard had like some special made up stat. It's the biggest blown lead of so many points in the modern era.
Without scoring over 30 some points without any turnovers were like 440 and nothing.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's 440 and one.
That's right. I mean, so now we have two. Falcons blew a 25-point lead. Falcons blew a 20-point lead.
The replay of the onside kill, like, because I was –
What
yeah,
were
I didn't
they
see
thinking?
Live, I don't know. It's like they're like, no, I don't want to touch it. You know,
they
I don't want to touch it.
They were thinking they had to go 10 yards. I guarantee you that's
so
what they were
stupid.
Thinking.
No, you know that's for the other team.
They were just standing around it like Falcons. Looking at it. It was hilarious. Oh, man.
It was so funny. It's just typical Falcons, isn't it?
It's amazing that the Falcons are able to keep giving us stuff like this. You know?
It's just, even though we lost, but they can't say shit.
Ever.
I can't wait. It's a shame we play them so late in the season. I think Dan Quinn might be out of a job by the time we play them.
That'll be good, in a way. Maybe not.
Nah, keep them there. This is
the I don't know,
right. Yeah, I don't want to ride it out. Kind of like the Mike Smith syndrome. Yeah, let's keep them. Come on.
But that's what I'm saying. We say that every year, but every time they get a new coach, and it never works anyway. So it doesn't matter. And I like that even ESPN pregame of our game, they were talking about the relationship between Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and they're like, these two guys have been together for 10 years, and they still don't have chemistry between each other. What the heck is going on over there? And they're right. Like, they're so inconsistent. They don't really work well together. They get these hot streaks every now and then, but look at how Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, the chemistry they have, and how Drew Brees' chemistry had with every receiver he's ever had.
Did you see the drop? The Julio Jones drop?
Julio drop?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. I was gonna say which one?
I mean, he's got better chemistry right now with Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley's definitely their best wide receiver.
Something's up over there.
The first two games of the year. Yeah, he's definitely their best wide receiver.
So in other games, it looks like Kyler Murray's the real deal.
Yeah.
With the Cardinals. Yeah. I mean, both passing and rushing. I mean, he looked unreal.
Good chemistry with DeAndre Hopkins already.
Oh, gee, do you think Houston misses DeAndre Hopkins?
A little bit. No, they got Brandon Cooks. They're fine. What are you talking about?
And Brandon Cooks is injured.
Doctor. Even better.
I'm surprised you wanted to talk about the
time with the Chargers.
That was a really good game. You know, Ben and I were kind of talking about that before we started recording. You know, Justin Herbert, whatever you want to call him, was his first start, and he didn't even know. You know, Tyrod Taylor came out, warmed up, and was hurt, and the coach kind of went and told him, "Hey, you're starting, Justin." And Justin, I mean, he thought he was joking. Like, he's like, okay, yeah, right, coach. He's like, no, seriously, you're starting the game. You're a starting quarterback. And, man, he came out and played well. You know, he played really well.
Joe Burrow was fucking amazing against the Browns, I thought. He just needs weapons and a line.
Jeff doesn't think he's that good. He's not that good, right, Jeff?
Who are you talking about?
Joe Burrow. He's not that good, right?
I didn't say he wasn't that good. I just said you were ready to anoint him the greatest of all time. And I said, just wait. He's played two games, or it's one game or two games, and his numbers were still average at this point.
I see him a much better NFL quarterback already than people like Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. After two games, he's showing me
debate,
more.
I don't debate. I'm not debating that. Like, what I'm saying is his numbers are still not there. He's not like a Pat Mahomes level.
Well, no, you look at what he's got around him.
We know that he is because, that's true. We know that he has that talent because we've seen him at LSU.
Like, he looked just incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to not get killed. I mean, that's the biggest worry is that he just gets beat up so bad that it screws him up. I mean, they need to draft all, you know, two or three offensive linemen next year's draft. They have to.
Yeah. Hang on. How about we trade him, Pete, for a first-round draft pick?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Pete's a solid, sturdy veteran.
Pete for Burrow, even Steven.
Yeah.
That works for me. He's elite. Listen to the Beers and Beer podcast, you know.
Right. According to Dave, that's a fair trade. Yeah.
But no, also I think game of the weekend probably was actually Seattle, New England. That was a fucking unbelievable game that was. And how it came down to the Patriots on the 1 yard line, unlike when the Seahawks were down there in the Super Bowl and Cam Newton getting stuffed was nice to see, but he looked like
poetic justice.
Yeah, he looked like he could throw a ball still, Cam Newton. Russell Wilson, I think, is going to be the MVP this year.
Jesus. Yeah. So going back to Cam, I mean, I know we all kind of thought he was done. He looks very rejuvenated in New England, and maybe it's the situation. Like, he couldn't have done this if he signed with some other crappy team, but it's kind of amazing. You know, like the Bears traded a draft pick and to pay Nick Foles when Cam Newton was just sitting right there, you know? Now maybe, you know, at the Bears it doesn't work out like it does in New England, but it's very surprising to me to see he can play a lot better.
It's where he is. It's who his coach is. It's the organization. Yeah. And a lot of the talking heads say that, you know, Bill Belichick is going to run him into the ground. They said that on the BS and Beer as well, that they feel like this, he's a, I believe what they called it, and I like this term, a rent player, you know, 1 year.
Yeah.
Run him into the ground. Just wear him out. Doesn't matter. He's, you know, just a mercenary to you. He's not the franchise quarterback. He's too old to be that. So, go ahead. Just do what you're going to do and tear him up. So, it's interesting. He may be looking at it as this is his last hurrah, or do something because he knows he's going to be a free agent next year and he's going to have to find another team that's going to be willing to hire a mercenary. And that's going to be his career, is a mercenary that he should probably end up in San Francisco before it's all said and done.
Jimmy G's falling off the cliff, though, isn't he?
He hurt himself.
Yeah, he got hurt.
He has, but even this, he just looks towards the tail end of the last year, even though they made a Super Bowl, you can tell that doesn't really look like a relationship him and Shanahan, does it?
I don't know. I haven't seen him, what he's done so far this year. They did win.
Yeah, but they played the Jets.
Well.
Yeah, the Jets are garbage.
Even we could have beaten the Jets on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, without
but right, they have a good tight end.
He was before he got hurt, he was 14 of 16 with 2 touchdowns, 131 yards. I actually think he's probably playing fairly well.
I've got a friend who's a Jets fan, and he just said to me, would you draft Trevor Lawrence if you were the Jets and you got the number one overall pick? And would the Saints love to take Sam Darnold in a trade?
I mean, I wouldn't trade him much for him, but also how much of that is factored into the Jets are just god awful. They're a terrible run organization. Get him out of there and maybe he works out.
So, you know what? The Saints have a pretty good history of taking Jets players and turning them into superstars.
That is true.
So,
yeah, not wrong there.
You know what? Why not? Hey, bring him on the team if you can. Hey, let him battle it out with Jameis for a spot then.
You think Jameis is the guy?
Either Jameis, Taysom, or him?
I don't think Taysom is.
I've already made the deal. Either Jameis, Taysom, or Sam Darnold. That's who it is. Yeah, right.
Or Blake Bortles. He's still playing.
All right. All right. Now you've jumped the shark. Okay. Anything else on NFL Reach Round before we get into Pick'ems?
I mean, I think we covered a lot.
Then let's get into Pick'ems.
Time to play the game. Now you play it. Yeah.
Gotta take the control. We make it. I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
All right. Interesting week last week at Pick'ems. Nobody went undefeated, but we did have 2 4-1s. Jeff went 4-1. As well as Ash went 4-1. Ben also went 4-1. Shit, almost missed you there. So we had 3 4-1s. I went 3-2. Scott went 3-2. And James is bringing up the rear with his second straight 2-3. So out of us, we've got Jeff and Ben with both at 8-2.
It's like the hosts know what they're doing.
That's right.
That's the only thing. I'm at 7-3. Scott's at 7-3. Ash is at 6-4. And James is at the bottom 4-6. Dave went 5-0 week one. We did not get his picks for week 2.
We're going to have to start working on that. Right. So in the larger league, Carp, 209-6. New player on the block, 8-2. Chris McGuire, 8-2. Spelled it right this time. Mordecai, 8-2. So with Ben and I, that's all the 8-2s. It's a big traffic jam in the first place spot. Then you go all the way down to 7-3. Jason, JTL, Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno. Then 6-4.
So take that back. Hold on. I scratched it up. Scott actually went 2-3 this week. He's 6-4. He lost the New England. He picked New England. That was your loss this week. Sorry, Scott.
You know, it's funny, Jason. You made that switch to Chicago.
Yeah.
You wanted to create separation. I appreciate the separation.
Yeah, no problem.
Created.
Well, I mean, what's crazy? I mean, the Bears won. They just won by 4 and not 5.
That's right. You picked with your heart. not with your brain.
I mean, I picked the winner, just not the...
And you forgot how spreads work?
Spread went right.
So then you got 6-4 is Ash, Big Easy Guy, John, Neil, Scott. 5-5 is Dave, like you said. 4-6, James. 4-1, Christian Mino. 3-7, Sans Hobbs. 2-3, Preston Allen. And Gunn is 0-10. I like how we're making Gunn play in the end.
He's 0-10, really?
Yeah, well, he unpicked.
Oh, okay.
All right, so getting on to this week, it's a real shame because probably the two best games of the weekend, we can't use the Saints and Packers on Sunday night and then the Ravens and the Chiefs on Monday night. You know, that would have been a fantastic.
So you mean they picked the right games to put on national TV?
Yeah, for once. So we'll go ahead and we'll get started. The Las Vegas Raiders sitting there 2-0, coming off a win against the Saints, travel to New England to play the Pats, who were coming off that late loss to Seattle. It's in New England. Again, I don't know what the fan situation is at any of these stadiums or games, so it's possible one or two of these could have fans. It's possible they don't. But New England's favored by 6.
So the Raiders are getting 6?
The Raiders are getting 6. I'll take New England in this one. I'm sorry, the Saints lost to a team that, while they will make the playoffs, they're not good enough to beat the Patriots.
Vegas, baby!
The points are tempting. Give me the points.
6 points, man. That's a lot. Give me New England. Fuck it.
All right. We've got a really good game here. A couple of 2-0 teams. The Los Angeles Rams. Not sure if they're good again or if they just benefited from playing a shitty Philadelphia team this past week. They travel to Buffalo to play a Bills team that's 2-0, but also, they beat the Jets and the Dolphins, so that's not necessarily saying much. This game's in Buffalo. Bills are favored by 2.
Going to take the Bills.
Okay. I'm going to take Buffalo.
Yeah, give me Buffalo. Rams traveling to the East Coast.
Big test for the Bills. Big test. All right, our next game. The Dallas Cowboys coming off a fantastic comeback.
The one time I liked it.
Against the Atlanta Falcons. Travel to Seattle to play a 2-0 Seahawks team that looks really good, although they did lose Bruce Irvin to a torn ACL. But Russell Wilson looks pretty fantastic right now. Since Seattle, Seahawks favored by 5.
Seahawks.
I am going to take the Seahawks as well.
Ben?
I was waiting to see what you were going to do. the Seahawks like close matchups, don't they? I'm going to go Seahawks, though. I think they'll take it.
All right, make it a Seattle 4-way.
All right, so due to the nature of the games, we're going with a double dose of the Odell Beckham shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big...
Speaking of Odell, we have the Cleveland Browns coming off a win last week against the Bengals. Odell actually caught a touchdown. They're at home hosting the Washington football team, coming off a loss to Arizona this week. Washington's defense has been a little frisky, and Cleveland's still Cleveland. And somehow the Bengals, I mean the Browns, are favored by 7.
Browns are favored by 7?
Browns are favored by 7.
Where is it? Is it in?
It's in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Take me the Browns.
Give me the Redskins.
You mean the Washington football team?
No, I mean I want the Redskins. If Washington football team loses, it counts.
I'm going to take the points as well. I think this is a game that after Cleveland's win, people are like, okay, maybe Cleveland's going to right the ship, and they just lay a fucking steamer all over the field, and Washington ends up winning.
And Washington's actually not as terrible as we thought they'd be.
Yeah, they're still not good, but they're not terrible. I thought they'd be terrible.
Have the Browns been in every shitty game that we've done so far?
No. They weren't in last week.
No, they weren't in the
first. That's because they couldn't be.
Yeah, they haven't been in either one.
Well, yeah.
And now for our second shitty game of the week, the 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals I hate to put Joe Burrow in the shitty game of the week, but as good as he is, the rest of the team stinks. AJ Green's washed. Their offensive line sucks. So it's gonna be an uphill battle for them to win four or five games this year. They travel to Philly, who just I don't know what the hell.
I love that Philly is in turmoil.
Yeah, they just look they got whooped by the Rams 37-19 this week. They just look terrible. They're 0-2, and yet they're favored by 5.5.
Cincinnati all day.
That's not an emotional pick, is it?
No, not at all.
He's going to take Burrow in every chance he gets. I'm taking Burrow in the Bengals this week as well.
Yeah, I'm not. All right. I'm taking Burrow in the Bengals.
I'm going to take Philly.
There you go. Get them. Get yourself
Jeff,
some Eagles.
Jeff just called you stupid, too.
This is where you fall from grace.
No, I think – I don't know. I just – They can't lose three games in a row, surely.
Surely they can.
I hope they do.
Oh, so do I. Don't get me wrong. I hope they do. Yeah. Hilarious.
All right, and that's funny for this week.
Yeah, I was going to actually, right before you said the game, though, when he was talking about Cleveland couldn't be in the shitty game, my comment to that was going to be, and there's no way Jason was going to put Cincinnati in the shitty game because of Joe Burrow. And then the next shitty game is Cincinnati. So good thing I didn't say it. And you'll never know that I was planning to say it. All right, that takes us to our final segment, Saints Preview. Where the Saints play in the Green Bay Packers. And don't forget, folks, you can look forward to the BS and Beer podcast publishing on the Dome Patrol United Network feed on Friday, where they do a preview show of the game, where they run through the injury reports and the guys talk a little more seriously about it, but for us, this is where we just get silly.
Don't mind if I do.
Right. Early look, early predictions. We don't know anything about what the week is going to tell us. You don't know who's going to be injured. You don't know who's going to be playing. What are the keys to beating the Green Bay Packers?
Scoring more points than the other team.
Another astute observation from the Dolphins United.
This is Taysom Hill going against the team that cut him.
Peyton does like these revenge games.
Yeah, I know. Look how much he used Jared Cook and Latavius
Murray.
Cook did present. Cook did score a touchdown.
He did.
It's the only catch he got all game.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's playing in FU mode after they drafted Jordan Love in the first round, so that's a little scary. Aaron Jones last week against Detroit, now granted it was against Detroit, ran for 168 yards, so this will be another test of the Saints' streak of not allowing a 100-yard rusher.
Devontae Adams.
Right, Devontae Adams is really good. Valdez Scantling and Lazard have been okay.
Green Bay has won their first two games. They scored 40 points or higher in each game, 43 and 42. Aaron Rodgers, 364 and 4 touchdowns in game 1, 240 and 2 touchdowns in game 2. If we don't stop him and Aaron Jones, it's going to be a long day. 40 points. I know they played Minnesota and the Lions, but Minnesota's got a decent defense.
Yeah, Minnesota might not be good.
But, I mean, 40 points.
Minnesota gave up 28
two games in a row.
Minnesota gave up 28 to the Colts and washed Phillip Rivers. So, but, yeah, look, Green Bay can definitely score, and them finally utilizing Aaron Jones is kind of scary. And also watching what the Saints secondary did this week, and now Rodgers comes in, that's a little scary.
Are fans allowed this one?
No. Originally, there was hope, but the mayor shut it down. So, yeah, and once again, no fans.
I'm worried about this game.
I'm worried as well.
We could see a reaction team, or we could really get spanked. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Thomas, I can't see him being back.
I know he's going to want to play, but there's no way. You can't rush him back.
But for goodness sake, use Kamara, use the Murray.
Present.
Use Hill. That is how you're going to win an offense.
It's going to have to be ball control. Basically do what the Raiders did to us. I mean, the Raiders crush it in time of possession against us. That's something we're going to have to do.
Keep Rodgers and Jones and Adams off the field. Keep them off the field and let's go from there. Like, it's annoying because it's another bloody fucking late kickoff for us over here. Hopefully Cam Jordan can actually show up this game as well.
Yeah.
Davenport.
Yeah, does I guess that's you know, does Davenport play? We did see Ruiz dress out. He actually had to come in for that play when Easton was a little banged up, but that only lasted a play.
But if Davenport doesn't come back, the question is, why didn't you put him on IR? Because obviously the length of the IR this year. Mm-hmm. So they surely got to be targeting this game for his return.
I mean, I hope to God we need him. I mean, this is starting to be fucking bullshit.
I'm so nervous for this game. This because if we go 1-2 and Breeze has another game like he did, you can see not just New Orleans media, but you can see a lot of national media coming down hard on it.
I mean, you are seeing that a little bit right now, but yeah, depending on what he looks like, especially since, like, let's say Rodgers lights us up and Breeze looks like that, it's just, you know, these columns are just going to keep coming out about him.
Yeah, and you can see it. It's already starting to come out, like kind of like you said.
And again, it's not like we didn't know that. Look, Breeze is not what he was 5 years ago. We all know that. But the accuracy was all – he could still run the offense. I'd like to get a few more shots down the field, but that doesn't look like to be what we're going to do with that, unless it's a Taysom throw or something.
Can you hear me?
We can now.
All right. So the other interesting point is that they're sending Michael Thomas to Green Bay to meet with their team doctor to determine whether he can play. So if I'm the Green Bay team doctor, I'm like, nope, he's still hurt. Not allowed to play. But they're trying. I guess they value his opinion, and it very well could be an ironic situation where Green Bay's doctor sends Michael Thomas into the game against Green Bay.
Michael Thomas won't play.
Yeah, I think that's the doctor that he had gone to originally when it happened, when the injury happened that he had saw. So it just happened to be Green Bay's team doctor too.
The one hope is that maybe the loss last night is a fucking wake-up call and they get their shit together.
Yeah. Well, oh, that's what I was trying to say when I broke up, was this is where we're going to know. Because historically, Sean Payton uses the crisis, Jason, uses the crisis to turn the team around, and they're able to do it. If they can't do it, then it's either Drew Brees' talent or this team may not be what we thought they were. Which is weird because it's the same team that went all the way to the divisional round last year.
No, we got stuck in the wild card round last year.
Was it wild card? Shit, I forgot.
We won 13 games, though, but we got stuck. We got fucked again.
But it's not the same
team.
Drew Brees is a year older.
We screwed ourselves.
Drew Brees is a year older. It's not the same.
Well, that's a good point. Fair point. So, all right, final thoughts. Let's go round robin. Ben.
It was horrible, obviously, Monday night, but early enough in the season to recover. Let's hope that Drew Brees finds his way to becoming Drew Brees again, and let's just see more of Taysom Hill, and let's stick to the run. It's working. Let's stick to it. So let's not try and force things.
Scott?
I kind of agree with Ben. We got to stick to the run a little bit more. Hopefully we can pull it out. I don't know.
That's
we'll see.
You
like you said, Jeff. This is kind of the make it or break it kind of early game of the season. You know, it's kind of a put up or shut up. A lot of players have been tweeting.
We're going to get playoff fixed. Implications.
Yeah. We're going to get it fixed. You know, it wasn't good enough. You know, well, talk is cheap. You got to proof's in the pudding, buddy. So let's get it done.
And Jason.
I'm worried about this game. I really, the defense needs to step up and play a hell of a lot better than last night. It's the weird off season, the lack of crowds. The sky isn't falling, but man, I'm feeling a lot less good about this team. I don't know. I'm worried. I'm just very worried.
His confidence is low.
Yeah. My confidence was really shaken last night. Even though the Saints have done this in the past, and my confidence hasn't really wavered.
One game, and this is my appeal. One, don't let it shake after one game. We every team has one game. The Saints usually have that one game early in the season. If it happens again next week, then there's cause for confidence to lower. But until next week, I'm not giving up.
If it happens again next week, the instant reaction show is going to be very tasty.
I think it's going to be depressing more than anger.
It's going to be the acknowledgement that it, like, if Breeze so plays like this again, it's the acknowledgement that it's over.
Yeah, we're going to have to play that.
We'll
anger too.
This is the end.
We'll start making draft boards up for quarterbacks.
Mock drafts.
And look, this is something that we've been pushing back as much as we can. Like, no, this can't be the end. He's got another one. This can't be the end.
At some point, we're going to be wrong.
At some point, it comes for them all. I was hoping we could hold off one more year, and maybe we can. Maybe
right.
Last,
we're talking
maybe the first
like
2 weeks
over.
Are just an aberration.
Yes.
Correct.
Let's wait until at least 5 weeks before of performance to evaluate. Yeah. You know, get out of the preseason. And don't give up. It's not over yet, folks. We just had a bad game. That's all it was. It was a bad game. We laid an egg. I still maintain that either the players went out the night before, some players went out the night before, the team over, maybe they looked ahead, or maybe it's rigged. But either way, I don't think it's an indictment of the talent or their capability of winning the Super Bowl. This team is still stacked. We have a lot of talented players. They just need to get their heads on right. And that comes down to coaching. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, and the BS and Beer Saints Podcast. Follow the Dome Patrol Podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer Saints Podcast at BS and Beer Media. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, ACL donkeys.
Good night, UDAT Nation.